This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم بإذن الله تعالى. We continue inshallah. Your brother in Islam Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute, and you are tuned in to Radio Al-Ansar. أهلا وسهلا. Our current discussion, hadith number 4 from the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. What's this hadith dealing with? It's dealing with the matter of the stage development of the human being in the womb of the mother, also dealing with the writing of the record in the records of the angel, writing down his rizq, the ajal, the lifespan of the human being, his actions, whether he will be successful, whether he will be unsuccessful in the hereafter. Also the matters pertaining to the stage development. And we ended our discussion before the break, where Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. Swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? He says that none of you, فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ, verily one of you, لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, will do the actions of the people of Jannah, حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ, and there's only a hand span away from him, between him and Jannah. But then what will happen? فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدُخُلُهَا. His book will get the better of him, and he'll do the actions of the people of the fire, and he'll enter the fire. Subhanallah, may Allah save us. وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَدُخُلُهَا. But subhanallah, maybe a person is a hand span away from Jahannam, book gets the better of him, he does the actions of the people of Jannah, and he enters into paradise, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, some narrators mention this as a statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as opposed to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the truth is that it is from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It also shows us, subhanallah, that we should not be judgmental. We should not be judgmental with regards to people. Someone, mashallah, we see him to be doing all good, etc. He should not delude himself that he is from the people of Jannah. No, subhanallah. What did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Verily, actions are dependent upon the end. The end. How did you end off the game, subhanallah? The ending of your life. Brothers and sisters, a man, he might have done actions of the people of Jannah, but subhanallah, towards the end of his life, he takes a turn and he enters into Jahannam. And the opposite, a man does the actions of the people of Jahannam. Look at Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but subhanallah, that day he picked up his sword to take the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where does he enter into? He enters into Al-Islam, and then he comes and gives the Shahada to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The qalb, the heart changes very, very fast, brothers and sisters. Do not judge people by their cover. Every sinner has a future, subhanallah, and every pious person also has a past. They have closets, they have skeletons, they have issues, jayid. And so, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, never judge a book by its cover. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never lost hope in people. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Jewish boy on his deathbed, he went to give him da'wah. Abu Jahl, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua for him to embrace al-Islam. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, head of the munafiqeen, who prayed salatul janazah over him, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. So never ever, never ever give up hope with regards to anyone. There was that female companion, she fell into zina, subhanallah, but then she made tawbah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after she was stoned to death, then somebody said a bad word about her, you know, loose woman, bad woman, etc. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that she's made a tawbah, it would suffice, some narration, 60 men of Medina al-Munawwara, some narration, 70 men of Medina al-Munawwara. So never ever judge people, do not be judgmental, and never ever lose hope, subhanallah, in anyone. Imam An-Nawawi, he said that this is a proof that we do not guarantee Jannah or Jahannam for anyone, even if They do all the actions of Jannah, or they do all of the actions of Jahannam. This person, in terms of actions, he does everything wrong, but we cannot guarantee for him Jahannam, subhanAllah. Maybe he will still enter into Jannah. And the opposite, the same. This man, he does all of the actions outwardly of the people of Jannah, but we do not guarantee for him Jannah. We only guarantee Jannah and Nar for those who we have a clear, explicit proof about from the Quran or the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what? We ask Allah for tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq that our will is in line with the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the poet, he says, إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عَوْنٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِلْفَتَى فَأَكْثَرْ مَا يَجْنِي عَلَيْهِ إِجْتِهَادُهُ. Subhanallah, if there's no tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the first one to suffer is the individual themselves. So brothers and sisters, with this we conclude the summary explanation, the general explanation of this hadith. As for deeper matters, then the issue of abortion, what is the ruling with regards to it? Based upon the common interpretation, 40 equals 120, majority of the classical scholars, they were influenced by this interpretation, and the ruling on abortion was that before 120 days, there's a debate. Before 120 days, there's a debate. But after 120 days, there's no debate, and it is completely haram after 120 days. Why? Because life is blown into it, the ruh is blown in, and thus it would be like you are taking the life of another, and that is completely impermissible. Only one exception they gave, and that was if the life of the mother was at stake. If we have to save one of the two, saving the fetus or saving the mother, then here we give preference to saving the life of the mother. Why? Because her life is certain, whereas the life of the fetus is uncertain, and we give preference to certainty over uncertainty. If we have to go deeper, then within the first 40 days of the pregnancy, some scholars said it's haram to abort, some said that it is makruh, and some said it's allowed. Jayid, what we summarize here, and we say that if, for example, there's a valid reason, if, for example, there's an overwhelming reason to abort, then it would be permissible within the first 40 days. Examples would be the female was raped. Subhanallah. So she does not want to go through this pregnancy, etc. She was raped. So within the first 40 days, it would be permissible. Many scholars also state that if a group of doctors have stated that there are severe abnormalities in the fetus, then within the first 40 days it would be permissible to abort. Remember, as the female advances in the pregnancy, it gets more and more and more haram daily. So it was less haram after 10 days, it's more haram after 20 days, and it's more haram after 30 days, etc. What about the second 40 days? Similarly, there's debate here. If there's a valid reason, many of our sisters who were raped in Bosnia and raped in Syria, etc., many of the scholars gave them permissibility to abort before 120, especially if it's within the first 40. What if it's within the second 40? There's debate here. What about the third 40? Here, there's even much greater debate, but after 120 days, then most of the scholars state you are not allowed to abort. Why? Because you are now taking the life of another. And the only time they would allow it is if the life of the mother was at stake. If, for example, one looks at South African legislation, you had the Choice of Termination of Pregnancy Act of 1992, or rather of Act 92 of 1996, and it states that within the first trimester, it would be permissible and allowed legally for the female to abort. She does not even need her parents' permission. They don't even need to be informed. Minors could go ahead. They also mention that after 20 weeks, only if the life of the mother is at stake, or if there's severe handicaps with regards to the fetus, then it would be permissible. And there's also extremely shocking statistics with regards to abortion in South Africa. Subhanallah, thousands and thousands of abortions performed every single month. Allah musta'an. Infanticide, child infanticide, infant infanticide. We find that in the times of Jahiliyyah, people would take their kids and they would bury them alive. Well, this aborting a kid after, like, for example, 120, is that not the same? Yes, subhanAllah, Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Then there's also the issue of contraception. Contraception. We have temporary contraception and you have permanent contraception. You also have natural contraception. And Jaid, as for natural methods, no problem at all with regards to natural methods. Then you have reversible or temporary contraception. Within that, you have non-hormonal. Example, the guy is using the condom, or for example, the female using the caps, use of certain spermicides, the coil UID. So this is non-hormonal. Then there's a reversible temporary hormonal contraception, like the pill, the patch, or injections. Then the third category, irreversible, vasectomy, tubal ligation, hysterectomy. Jaid, those are some of those options there. What's the ruling with regards to all of this, brothers and sisters? If ever the reason for contraception is that we fear poverty, we fear poverty, we don't have enough money, etc., how are we going to afford a kid, etc., then this is completely haram, and this is exactly what the people of Jahiliyyah used to do. Haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends each human being with their own risk. So if that's the reason, it's the reason, it's completely impermissible. Then what if it's, if that's not the reasoning? If, for example, we are a young couple, we're still studying, we might be moving, we're not really settled in our marriage, then these are permissible reasons, inshallah. We've got many kids now, we want to space them, space between each kid, no problem, inshallah. So temporary contraception is allowed if you have this type of valid reason. Also, if both husband and wife agree, if there's no harm upon the body of the female, many a times the pill and other medications really cause havoc to the body of the female. And what's the proof that this is allowed? Azl. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, they used to practice coitus interruptus, or as it's called, azl. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard about this, he knew about it, and he did not say anything. Thus, it is, it shows that it is permissible. Sahabi says, "Kunna na'zil wal Qur'an yanzil." We used to practice azl while the Qur'an was being revealed. So that's temporary contraception allowed with the valid reason, consent between husband and wife. Alhamdulillah. As for permanent contraception, then majority of the scholars say this is haram. This is haram. Why? وَجَعَلَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Qur'an, وَجَعَلَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا, Surah Shura, verse number 50. وَجَعَلَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes whomsoever He wills, makes them barren. But here you are going along and you are turning yourself into that. You are, you know, making yourself sterile. You are having a vasectomy, tubal ligation, etc., etc. Then you are changing the khalq, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Iblis wanted. He says, I'm going to make mankind change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's also the hadith, Sahaba, kam ya Rasulullah. You know, we want to castrate ourselves. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, no, impermissible. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the only exception given by the scholars is that if the life of this mother is at stake, or the life of the individual is at stake. You know, they said that if ever you fall pregnant, your life is at stake, then it would be permissible. Otherwise not allowed at all, subhanAllah. Then brothers and sisters, as we said, if the reasoning is that we fear we don't have food or anything like this, where we're going to get the risk, then that's completely haram. Also take note that when we speak about contraception, this temporary and permanent, there's also certain, these are preventative measures. But there are certain types of contraception which in reality is more akin to abortion. Example, some types of the loops, some the morning after pill.
these here, they expel the fertilized ovum. They could be preventative measures, but they could also, at times, if the ovum is fertilized, then they expel. Now, this here would equate abortion within the first 40 days. And then that enters us into the issues related to abortion and its permissibility and non-permissibility, etc. So be wary with regards to that. That technically the morning after pill and some of these loops, they are more akin to abortion as opposed to preventative contraception methods. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There's also the role of the doctor. I mean, if for example, you know that the morning after pill, this here, could expel the fertilized ovum, then you need to be wary with regards to who you sell it to. If you don't know, then it's fine. But if for example, you know that this person, such and such, they're not married, etc., there's great questions with regards to the sale of these type of matters or prescribing these matters. Allahu musta'an. Similarly, with regards to doctors performing abortions, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. A lot of discussion with regards to all of that. Allahu musta'an. Brothers and sisters, lastly, some fawaid, some benefits from this hadith number 4 of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, some aqidah benefits, creedal benefits, that we find that, and we learn, that we cannot guarantee Jannah or Jahannam for anyone, except where we have clear proof. We say so-and-so is a shaheed, a martyr, insha'Allah. We say so-and-so is a wali, insha'Allah. But we cannot guarantee that this man is a man of Jannah. We also find the benefit that the taqdeer, the predestination, this has been sorted out, but we still have to work. We still have to act. We don't know what has been written for us, subhanAllah. No doubt there's going to be aspects of the qadr that we will never, ever, ever understand. But what we should understand is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, past, future, present, etc. What's going to happen, what could have happened, even though it will never happen, etc. Allah knows everything and all types of options. Allah's knowledge, subhanAllah. And then nothing can happen within His dominion without His permission. But you, Salim Ahmed Ilyas Sumayya, you are responsible with regards to your own actions. There's also Fawaid Tarbawiyya. What's this? Tarbiyah benefits, and that's number one. Be wary of self-deception. You think that, mashallah, you are the best thing after sliced bread. You are the best person, mashallah. Look at all the people who are doing worse off stuff than you. In reality, subhanAllah, that can cause you to be self-deluded. Look at this man in this hadith. He was a handspan away from Jannah, but he ended up somewhere else. Look at that companion, or rather that individual. He was fighting in the battle. Sahaba was saying he's killing the enemy left, right, and center. But look at where he eventually ended up. Prophet ﷺ said he's in the fire. Sahaba went, followed him. They found that he was injured, and he took his own life. Allahu musta'an. As for the other companion who fell into zina and he was stoned to death in public, people said a bad word about him. Prophet ﷺ said that he's swimming right now in the rivers of paradise. SubhanAllah. So never judge. Be wary of an evil end. Be wary of su al-khatima. Be wary of an evil end. You never know where you're going to die. You never know how you're going to die, subhanAllah. Allahumma salli. May Allah grant us husnul khatima. And one way to earn husnul khatima is that you do secret acts of worship that people do not know. Secret acts of worship that people do not know about, earning you husnul khatima, insha'Allah. There's also, we learnt the stages of development, and just like the fetus, just like the human being goes through stages, everything else in life also goes through stages. Your maturity goes through stages, your getting older, stage after stage, you want to learn a new language, stage after stage, your knowledge, you cannot know everything in one day, rather step by step, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. We also learn that insan, we know that insan was created in the best of forms. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. An insan was created in the best of forms, subhanAllah. One individual, he said to his wife, he looked at the beautiful moon, and he said to her that you are divorced 3 times if you are not more beautiful than the moon. A bit of a silly thing for him to say, but he said, you are divorced 3 times if you are not more beautiful than the moon. So she comes to the scholar crying, you know, what do I do? My husband, this is what he said. Obviously, the full moon is better than me. So the scholar said, no. In reality, the marriage is fine. Why? Because Allah said in the noble Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We created insan in the best of form. And best of form is better than the form of the moon. So insan is definitely better than the moon. And thus, you women, you are better than the moon, and thus there's no divorce, subhanAllah. And that scholar was none other than Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. On that note, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we come to the end of hadith number 4. We did a full revision of this hadith tonight, alhamdulillah, due to the fact that in our previous 2 majalis, the program was cut short due to the live broadcast. So alhamdulillah, we've covered this hadith now from all angles. And insha'Allah, the following week, we will begin with hadith number 5, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. This hadith that Imam Ahmed said is one of the pillars of the deen, that the religion of Al-Islam revolves around these few hadith, and this hadith number 5 being one of them. What's that hadith? مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever innovates something in this matter of ours, in this deen of ours, it will be rejected. Whatever he innovates will be rejected back to him. Allah musta'an. We will continue our discussions with the 40 ahadith when we meet again. Until then, hayyakumullah, jazakumullahu khayran. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.